seated. Thank you, worship team, for always, always doing a great job in leading us. Amen. Thank you for your anointing and giftings and talents today. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you go ahead and turn with me. Lots of places I want to go, so I kind of struggled where to begin. We're going to start in John chapter 15. Thank you all for being here this morning. God is good, amen? How many are thankful for the opportunity to worship together on Easter Sunday? If you remember, last year we didn't have this luxury, did we? We still worshiped, we still prayed, but there's just something about coming to God's house with his people on this day, amen? And at the ending of this service, we are going to something that we started, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. Cheryl had Brother Denny build this cross. Brother Denny, you know how long that was? 3 or 4 years ago, somewhere along there. I'm very thankful for the cross. Just for a moment, this is not in my notes. This is not what I was going to preach about this morning. But because of the cross, we have life. You know, as we look at this, there's not much there, is there? The song that we used to sing talked about the old rugged cross. Not much to look at, right? But I'm thankful for, it wasn't this cross, but this is a representation of what Jesus carried and what he laid down his life for. Amen. And you know, a lot of times we look at that as a symbol of death. But you know, and I'm thankful that Jesus laid down his life on the cross. But this week I was reading in actually in Genesis, and I talked about last week about how everything that we read in the Old Testament has significance. And it points, and it's relevant to today, and it points to Jesus. I was actually reading the story of Joseph. And you say, what does that have to do with Easter Sunday? There's a lot there, all right? In the story, if you're familiar with the story of Joseph, how he was sold and how he was betrayed, he went to Egypt and rose into second command, right? And because of that position that he was in, he was able to supply food and grain to his people, right? And his brothers came, and they Joseph knew who they were. When it was revealed to Joseph to the brothers who Joseph was, they were afraid, right? And after the father had died, they had this dialogue that, well, Joseph's going to get even with us now. But I believe it's in Genesis chapter 50. There's this verse that I read this week. Have not been able to get away from. This is what Joseph said to his brothers when they were afraid. They were afraid that he might get even with them, right? In their thinking, and they deserved it. He said this: "What you meant for evil, God meant for good, to save much people alive." And I was thinking about the cross. The enemy had evil plans, and he meant it for hurt. And when Jesus died on that cross, that old devil thought he had won. But God meant the cross for good, and Jesus went to the cross, laid down his life, so that much people could be saved alive. And as I began to think about the cross, a lot of times we think about death. I begin to think about life at the cross. And what we're going to do at the end of this service is give us opportunity to put a flower on the cross. And I want you to take note that right now it doesn't look like much. But I want to say this: there is life at the cross. Receive that. Amen. I believe someone needs to hear that today. There is life at the cross. And I believe that entails spirit, I believe that entails soul, and I believe that entails our body. Amen. Life at the cross. How many of us like to celebrate? Anybody like to celebrate? I would dare say we all like to celebrate. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate anniversaries, right? I got a little tickled last week we celebrated birthdays and anniversaries. We sang have a birthday like we do. When we got to anniversaries, I noticed something. We got a little pep in our step on the anniversaries, and we began to celebrate a little bit, right? I think Alvin and Glenda had an anniversary. Ken and Letitia, we celebrated Breck and Bree, right? And we celebrate lots of things. We celebrate birthdays, anniversaries. We celebrate the beginnings of things. We celebrate the end of things sometimes, right? I mean, no, we like to celebrate good times. Come on. There's a song that goes with that, right? All right. We do. There's something we're celebrating today, amen? But I want to say this, not just today. Every day, because of Jesus, we can rejoice. Because of Jesus, we can celebrate. Why do we celebrate today? What is it we celebrate? Again, I want to reference back to the cross. This week is very significant to our faith, and I understand it. It wasn't the first week of April, the calendar was different and things, but it's a time that we set aside that we remember what Jesus did, right, at the cross. And the reason this week has been significant, John chapter 15, verse number 13, Jesus was talking about being the true vine, that we can live in Him by being the branches, right, and bring forth fruit, and that's all. Wow, we need that, amen, and we should be bearing fruit. But in that teaching, in that passage, verse number 13, he said this. He said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you." In John chapter 10, verse number 17, Jesus had been talking about being the good shepherd. He says this, he said, "Therefore does my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again." What are you talking about? He's going to the cross to lay down his life, but he also, what did he say? That he's going to take it again. What was he speaking of? He's speaking about being raised from the dead, right? On that third day. Verse number 18, he said, "No man takes it from me, this life, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And so when we think about, I just don't have much to celebrate. Specifically last year, I heard people say, "Man, I'm just waiting for some good news. I would just like something to look forward to, something to celebrate in, something to rejoice in." Can I say, whether it's 2020 or 2021 or 1952 or 2052, those are those numbers that came to my head. Whenever it is, we have something to celebrate. That Jesus went to the cross for you and me. He laid down his life. Who did he say he laid down his life for? For me, for his friends, right? He laid down his life for you. But not only did he lay down his life, he raised it up again. Why? We'll talk about that here in a moment. So that we can have eternal life. And so I know today there's lots going on family-wise, and we're looking forward to that. But I want us to not miss out on the real reason to celebrate today. We celebrate because Jesus is alive. I want to read a passage. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse number 1. We're going to read the first 15 verses here, if you'll allow me to this morning. Listen to the account of Matthew talking about the risen Christ. So in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Verse number 6 says, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came, and they held him by the feet and worshipped him. They said, Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say this, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. You know, there are people who do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. There are people that believe that. But I want you to think about for yourself. I can't answer this question for you. I can answer it for myself. You answer it for yourself. Do I believe that Jesus is alive? Do I believe that Jesus is alive? Why do I believe that? Can I tell you, for me, how do I know that Jesus is alive? Because he lives in me. You can't convince me otherwise. Amen? He's alive in me. Do I believe that Jesus is alive? And as we read in this passage, his followers had went to the sepulcher, and the angel met and told them that, they said, I know who you're seeking, but what was the message the angel said? He's not here where you're looking for him. He wasn't in the tomb, right? But what was the message? He said, he is risen. He is not here, but he is risen. Come see the place where he lay. If they needed proof, more than just the word, they could go to the tomb and see that it's empty. How many of you have been to Jerusalem to where they believe that tomb is? Is it still empty? Still empty, right? I think Sister Karen told me that when she came back. The tomb is still empty. And I want to say this today, it's still empty because Jesus is alive. And when they got the message that Jesus was alive, there was joy, and they begin to take hold of that, right? Verse number 8, it says they departed with fear. I don't think it was a afraid type thing. It was a reverence, right? And it says, and great joy. And what do? It says they ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to rejoice, and they were excited because Jesus was alive, right? And they begin to take hold of that he was not dead, that he was not in the tomb, that he was alive. They begin to have great joy. And I want you to see what the byproduct of that was. Jesus met them. Did you catch that? Verse number 9. Aren't you thankful Jesus will meet us right where we're at? And he met them, and he greeted them. And what was their response? It wasn't how. It wasn't why. But it was just pure worship. It was just pure worship, right? It says they fell at his feet and they worshiped him. I want to say this morning, if we truly believe that Jesus is alive and we have encounters with him, if we truly believe it, worship is something that will be part of our life. Amen? I'm not talking about singing a song. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about pure worship. Maybe we'll do a teaching on that at some time. But when we know Jesus is alive, we will worship him. Amen? You see, there'll be others who will try to convince us that Jesus isn't alive. In that passage, it says there are those that were assembled together. And I think there are others there that realized that Jesus was no longer dead, but that he was alive, right? And they begin to bribe them, and they begin to tell them to spread this word that his disciples came and took the body, right? And it said that saying is commonly shared even at that day. I want to say this morning. Don't let others convince you that Jesus is not alive. Just by a show of hands, how many say Jesus is alive? Can you be convinced otherwise? You know, I can't be convinced. There's lots of things in my life that it doesn't matter what you tell me. This water bottle lid is white. Well, I don't think so. It used to be something and someone painted a different color. It's white. You can't convince me otherwise. It's a silly illustration, but you know what? There are more deeper things that we know to be true that the world is trying to take hold of and try to do away with the message and try to do away with truth. I want to tell us this, church, we need to hold on to truth. And we need to live truth. We need to speak truth. We need to believe truth. The truth is Jesus' disciples did not come and steal his body away. The truth is that he rose from the dead. And why did he rise from the dead? To conquer death, hell, and the grave. Amen? How can I be sure that Jesus is alive? Again, he lives inside of me, right? Does he live inside of you? A couple of us? Yeah? Jesus is alive. Luke chapter 24. I wrote on here verses 1 through 44. Don't worry, we're not going to read them all right? Saw some deep breaths. Here we go, right? I put that on there because I'd like for you, if you can, this week to go read this account again about the resurrection of Jesus and the Emmaus Road encounter, right? It's a powerful passage of Scripture. And so I put those verses on there for you to be able to read that whole chapter, if you will, this week. But there's a few passages in here that I want to pick up in. I want to read the first three verses. So now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. How can I be sure that Jesus is alive? Because this is a testimony. They entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, there's lots of testimony, and you read in I believe it's in John, which we'll get to here maybe in a minute, and in other passages in the gospel where it talks about after Jesus was raised from the dead that he appeared before people. He appeared before his disciples, but I want to say it's in Corinthians, but I don't have this reference off the top of my head. But it said that he showed himself alive, maybe it's in Acts, where he showed himself alive to over 500 people, right? Was that the number? I think that was recorded. Over 500 people saw the resurrected Jesus. There is no accounts written that I've read anyway that talked about Jesus still being in the tomb. So the testimony is, I saw him alive. 500 people, right? Not one testimony that I saw him in the grave when the stone was rolled away. And I think even the religious leaders and those at that time that they didn't like that message, they knew Jesus was alive, but they didn't want that message shared, right? But how can I know that Jesus is alive? He wasn't in the tomb, but where was he? Where do people find him? Actually, they didn't find him. He found them, right? They were in this passage, if you start reading in verse number 13, so there are some that were walking on the road, and they were discussing what had happened. They were discussing Jesus going to the cross. They were discussing his disciples had gone to the tomb and didn't find him there, and they were discussing that, right? And as they were talking, right in the middle of their conversation, what happened? Jesus came right beside him, right? What did he ask him? He said, what are you talking about? Didn't he? What is it you're talking about? They said, he asked him, said, why are you sad? And they said, haven't you heard all those things? And he knew all these things, but he said, what things? But Jesus appeared right where they're at. And I appreciate the conversation that he had with them. He let them share how they were feeling. And I'm thankful that right where I'm at, Jesus will meet with me. And he'll meet with you. Have conversation with us, right? And share. And I saw that he talked with them, and he just walked with them, right? So he wasn't in the tomb. He's alive in me. He walked with them on this Emmaus road. He walks with me in this life's road. Amen? And he spoke to them, right? He talked with them. How many are thankful that Jesus speaks to us today? Of course, he speaks to us through his word. Of course, he speaks to us in his house. But I'm thankful that in the middle of my day, driving down the road, just in my normal business, and Jesus will get in that car with me. He'll get in that car with me. He'll talk with me. How do I know he's alive? He's been riding my car with me. Amen? Some of y'all need to have Jesus ride in your car with you sometime. Whew. How can I be sure he's alive? He wasn't in the tomb. He walks with us. He speaks to us. You know, dead people don't walk with anybody. Dead people don't talk to us. Come on. He's alive. Because Jesus is alive. This is the truth that I want us to get to this morning. Because Jesus is alive. Because he defeated death. We now have life. And I want to say this morning. If you're in this life, Jesus is not in you. You've not accepted him, the sacrifice that he made on the cross. You've not repented of sins and allowed Jesus to live inside of you. We're not living. Because there is no life outside of Jesus. You say, well, I'm breathing. Let me ask you why you're breathing. Whose breath are you breathing? Outside of Jesus, there's no life. But because of the cross, and because he raised from the dead, we now have life. John chapter 20, my last scripture this morning, and Cheryl's going to come sing a song for us. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Again, if you get time this week or inclination to, read John chapter 20, talking about there are even those in that day, even some of his disciples. Thomas said, I won't believe it until I see it. What did Jesus say? Thomas, come here. Come touch me, right? Wow. And when Thomas saw and he touched, he said, my Lord and my God, right? Verse number 30 of this passage. says, many other things truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So everything that we know about Jesus, I want to say this, there's way more that we don't have record of the things that he did, right? I think John also recorded later that if we're to write everything that Jesus did, that the world couldn't contain the books that were to be written about it, right? But verse 31 here of chapter 20 says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, what happens? You have life through his name. And we believe Jesus is alive. We believe that. We believe that and confess, says we will have life through his name. I think we like to celebrate. You know what? One thing I like to celebrate more than anything, I like to celebrate life. I love spring. Why do I love spring? I don't really like mowing my grass, but I was doing it the other day. You know what? You see that yard start to come to life. Right? Wow. We see the trees begin to bud. Signs of life. When a newborn baby comes into this earth, we rejoice because there's life. I want to say when Jesus comes inside, and I believe he wants to, there is life. I want to say that's the greatest thing we could celebrate. Jesus being alive in you and me. Amen? That's something worth celebrating. Cheryl's going to come and sing a song for us. How we're going to do this morning, if you've been with us in the past, and if you haven't, that's fine. Our tradition over the past, we didn't do it last year, but we have these flowers on the front up here. I want to give you opportunity to come to the cross and to, I'm going to do another one. Is that okay if I do two? Huh? I'm doing it for Cheryl, I guess, but come to the cross and celebrate life. Not just, we're thankful for his life laid down, but he is alive. Amen. So as she sings, it's a powerful song, but you can listen as you come. So she's going to sing a song, and if it takes longer, she'll sing it again, or I'm not sure what she'll do, but that's all right. Can we celebrate life today? Yes. Amen? Jesus is alive. Let's celebrate him. Let's come to the cross and find life this morning. Amen? As you'd like to come, there are baskets right here. Aaron will be first. All right. Y'all come follow her if you wish to this morning. Thank you.
To